SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Very good Tuesday and happy Valentine's Day, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sirius XM Online 964. If you're listening that way, and at our website, Steve Bick. And Case, I don't know if you noticed, but the power flick, you wouldn't have noticed it here because I'm here and you're there. But the power flickered, and yeah, that. I wasn't there, Case. Casey said, you scared me. Well, it's I wasn't really there. It's funny because when I went to put the headset, I got a phone call. Literally, 90 seconds before we went on the air, and I had to take it. But then I looked down and I saw, no, the board's not on. So, well, not necessarily a rough start. We've managed to get in under the wire. I hope you got in under the wire. You have a few hours. I know I make this suggestion. I usually do it on the 13th. I should have gotten out ahead of it. Don't be that spouse or that significant other that is forced to buy a single flower at the convenience store. Don't do that. Now, at the same time, yesterday I ran into Saratoga after the show, and I guess you're gonna get a Valentine's Day riff. In fact, maybe you'll get the greatest Valentine's story of all. Which some of you may or may not have heard over the years. yeah, that one lives in infamy. yesterday I had to go to Saratoga, so I'd already done quite a bit of the pre-Valentine's Day preparations, and yeah, that includes the card and the cards and all that, and I buy flowers all year long. Tina will absolutely acknowledge that I'm not a once or twice a year flower procurer. I get flowers just on a whim. That looks like a nice a nice dozen there, and it. Depending on the sensitivities of your beloved, it could alleviate you from having to pay the extortion fee for the flowers that is in place. The last 72 hours. It just so happens yesterday I was in two venues where flowers were absolutely fabulous, and so I bought two different sets of dozen roses, and then I was ready to buy a third. I was stopping at I guess I should praise the mass merchants that were gracious. I had to go to a Target in Wilton here, and Tina, we've told the story about the Soda Stream for Christmas. It actually has changed our lives. And I'm not kidding. It's unbelievable that something so ridiculous could be could enhance our day-to-day existence. But Soda Stream has done that for us. So of course, at the same time, you have to go to Target because the gas cartridges. To give the zets to the water, you get it at I don't know if it's an exclusive deal or what that SodaStream has with Target. Anyway, so it's got us going to Target on a regular basis to exchange the cartridges. And they had a big, temporary display of Valentine's flowers. Good for them. And they were priced right, $20 for a dozen. And they're absolutely spectacular. Cotton candy, have you seen the cotton candy roses? The red and white striped, they're unbelievable. So I said, well, I got to get these. Then I had to go across the street to Walmart, of all places, and I had a couple of oddball things to get there at Lowe's, and they had a display as well, and they were absolutely, I got the gorgeous yellow and red tinged that I always like, and Tina likes. So I got them there too, and they weren't as big. They weren't the supersized rosebud, but they were really nice. I said, let me get these too. And then I expected to get, and I'm going to indict Fresh Market here because they deserve the rest of the year. I buy roses at Fresh Market a lot for Tina. They have a beautiful dozen, they're not the big long stems with the size of a baseball, but they're really nice. And they also have the spray roses, where there's like 30 and a little those can be nice too. Anyway, so I buy that all the time at Fresh Market, and they're like, $15.99. Give or take. Go in there yesterday, and they got the gun in your ribs. It was nuts. $79.99 for long stems. You got to be kidding. So there's this poor unfortunate, and he's there with his two kids, and they're buying cards, and they're getting all the guys like. This is unbelievable. I said, well, you're lucky you ran into me. I said, take yourself and the kids, right up the road to Wilton here. And, it's a 3-minute ride. Go to Target. They got a beautiful display, and they're priced so that you'll look like a sport. So I guess I'm telling you, that's an option for you. But don't, please, do not buy that single pathetic thing at the convenience store. You want her to look at you like you're something she's scraping off her shoe. That'll do it. Unless you're some, I guess maybe there is the occasion where if you never give a flower, if you never get her flowers, I suppose if you show up with that single rose, it's an okay gesture. And she maybe she'll be shocked. So I suppose there is, I shouldn't. I mean, Seth, we know Seth Merrow because Seth might go over to Stewart's for that single rose because he's getting a hot dog at the same time. So, why do I do that to poor Seth? He does not deserve it, but I can't help myself. Well, happy Valentine's Day. And Tina and I had... we had sort of a Valentine's Day dinner with the Dick Steins, with Skip, who is recovering from his replacement surgery, and is doing good. Knee and he'll be for Triple Crown season. Skip will be mobile. He's moving pretty good. It's been about a month, and the nice thing about Skip for the photography community, Skip won't knock anybody over trying to get in position for a shot or step on anybody's hand. Hey now, if you know, You do. Boy, this is not good. This is bad. I'm in a punchy mood. Jerry Bennett is going to join us this morning. Well, that was fun yesterday. And I actually love weekends like we just had because, and we are going to talk to Brad Cox later, and it's not, you know, we do talk to Brad Cox on a fairly regular, you know, it's hard not to if you want to recap, you want to recap winners, big winners. So expecting to talk to Brad late in the show, probably after Andy. It is Tuesday. We'll get Andy's take on the three-year-olds. And you know what? Maybe with Andy, we'll get an early look, particularly at that early pick five. I'm sure he's already handicapped it, yeah, because he's he's a maniac. So we'll do that. And actually, the middle portion of the morning is a little open. But yesterday was fun because, you know, getting a chance to, you know, to talk to some different, you know, winners, Ed Mosier. I mean, who we, you know, certainly have talked to Ed over the years. But there really were some fun winners. And so getting Jerry Bennett on the show, who's won, Skip, it should have occurred to me that Skip is home, you know, still convalescing. It was his first day out, his first night out with he and Linda joining us. Went to Pinnell's, and of course, I didn't surprise anybody. But Tina and I both don't surprise anybody. I'll have the lasagna, and the sausage bean soup, and Tina will have the white clams to start, and the chicken broccoli. Always. I started going to Pinnell's in probably 1980. That's about right. Probably about 80. So I've been going for 40 plus years. I definitely have had a chicken parm or two. I wouldn't have had a steak. Probably had a chicken parm or two, maybe a veal parm. But I would guess if I averaged five Pinnell's visits, like I wouldn't average five over the last 20 years, maybe. But the previous 20, when I lived in other parts of North America, less. Although in the 90s, you'd get the Pinnell's at least three times a summer, two or three times. Anyway, the point being, in 40 years, I've probably been to Pinnell's, I don't know, 150 times. Is that about right? I've had the lasagna probably 142 or three. I might even bet the over on this. It is the singular best pasta dish, certainly among the Saratoga Italian dining community, and of course that's a hellscape. Actually, it's a vicious it's a Donnybrook. But that what Bruce does, what the family has done with that lasagna, you know, it's a pasta sheet, and then there's a sausage beef ground filling and rigotte, and then it's rolled up and into a log. It is unbelievable. And every time I go or the Matisse family goes, we send each other the picture, because the Matisses do something very clever. They take the lasagna at Pinnell's, and they'll order it as an appetizer, slice it into like six rotellis, and everybody gets like a slice, which is, see, this is what makes Paul Matisse and Chick and Duke. But I think this is Paul's innovation. This is what makes the Matisses so dangerous and so clever. They think outside the box. They making the Pinnell's lasagna into an appetizer for the table. Unbelievable. Wow. So, anyway, the point being, Skip, it should have occurred to me that Skip would be listening. And so now he's just asking that no one, he'll agree to continue to not step on other photographers or shove them out of the way to get into position if nobody kicks his knee. There's really only one candidate for that. Skip, it's funny. Sometimes you go on a riff like this when God knows what has sent me into this arena. But sometimes it's for an audience of one, and I hope Skip is laughing. anyway, yesterday, having the chance, as we did, to talk to Ed Mosier, which was a lot of fun, and today Jerry Bennett, who I'm actually going to look up the number. I mentioned that on Thursday, was it Thursday? In Tampa, after Sid and I were together, when Sid came out to the show, and then we went for Thai, had a fabulous Thai lunch close to the track. Carlos Garcia, who I had mentioned, trained for Due Process and had a long career. He's the stall man these days. I mean, not retired, but when you move to the stall, become the stall man or take some of those roles on, post training. And so he took us on this fabulous tour. And as he took us around, I got to tell you, you go barn to barn, you see the names on the barn, you realize if you started adding up the wins of the horsemen that are, on track, there are some big numbers, big balloons. Kathleen O'Connell, of course, you come to. And O'Connell, she's a force and has been for decades. And Jerry Bennett. Here it is, 4,090 wins, and 2022. He's been training, predates Equibase. 76 is the first Equibase thing. He, his numbers started to ratchet around 1984. Last year was his best year of his career. Think about that. 16, almost 40 years with any serious numbers in terms of head. And last year was his best year. So, he is like Ed Mosier and some of the other veteran horsemen. Comes from a bit of an old school background. They're not all ideal for media purposes. Some are a little shyer than others. Jerry Bennett, I did not want to let this win in the Suncoast slip through. I wanted to absolutely get him on. And there's some others that depending on some arrangements in the middle portion of the show, I do want to, I'm not going to reach out for the California regulators or even Dr. Benson right now. Maybe we'll talk to them when we're on the West Coast. Some very unfair, as I mentioned yesterday, regarding Decorated My Life and her going wrong in the Sweet Life. They have gone so far above and beyond the protocols. There are so many checkpoints that are being applied in California and having excellent results thanks to those checkpoints. And for as I said yesterday, there's going to be incidents. I mean, the vigilance can only go so far, and you know, catch so many things. And again, it's so easy for everyone that fancies themselves, you know, a regulatory vet, despite, you know, not having, you know, practical application and experience, to sound off an attack when, in fact, you know, every possible, and even not just every possible application of scrutiny is in place and has been added, but there's going to be the sad occasion. Inevitable. And you know, we obviously, zero is always the goal, but it's an impossible goal. So I reached out to a couple of different regulatory types from other parts of the country that could talk about this evolution, and I could always, you know, we've had this discussion with virtually every imaginable regulator from the veterinary side, most notably Dr. Palmer, and we reached out to Scott and others, but we've also had it with Dr. Alday from a racetrack practitioner standpoint. But I mean, the every safety net that you set up, I mean, there can be, you know, there starts with the, as we talked last week with Doc McClellan, you can start with the barn and the groom and trained veterinary care observer, and then the regulatory vet, and then the jockey that gets legged up, and then again at the gate. I mean, there's just, the scrutiny has never been more acute and more pronounced. So it seems just over the top to, you know, the accusatory tone and blood from fangs. It's just disheartening. Isn't the right word. The concept or the thought that, oh, no one's watching, no one cares. Please, no one cares. You have to fill out paperwork to work a horse. I mean, there's been an infrastructure, layers of infrastructure added that have never been considered before in the sport that are seeking to catch any possible, you know, safety, you know, potential issue. So I do want to have a conversation. We actually have not had it in probably, I don't know, a couple of years probably. But it's always good to have a reminder about the process and you know, who's involved and those checkpoints. But I will once again I refer back to the conversation at Gulfstream with Doc. What was it, a week ago Monday? If you missed it, the last hour, I would really recommend. And you know, not just from the point of, you know, edifying about what the Groom Elite program is, but also how it can serve to, you know, add another layer of scrutiny with, you know, with grooms that are, you know, that much more educated about the horse, about things that further their understanding of their physiology and if, you know, if something is amiss. So we will ideally have that conversation in the middle part of the morning between between 10 and 11. I got there's several irons in the fire on that topic. All right. There was actually, and I didn't mention it yesterday, there was a winner on Sunday that deserves mention, and that is the Beholder Baby. For those of you, the Beholder fans, Spendthrift sending out with Dick Mandela, Tina Ella, the Warfront 3-year-old. So Beholder gets her first marker as a producer, quote unquote. Right? Nice job. So that was on the desk to slip in. You know, let me also. I don't want to change the mood. I was inside. We were having so much fun. I already saw the press release yesterday from Dave Joseph's team, Laurel. But they're coordinating a moment of silence on Saturday for Avery Wisman. And this is really nice. BDJF and racetracks across the country. It's really a very thoughtful gesture. And the Wisman family obviously moved by it and appreciated it. And you know, once again, there's another difficult topic: mental health and you know, self-care and personal, you know, challenge. Very sad, but if it calls attention, and if it can help even one person, it's well done. Wanted to also, as we wait, we need a few minutes to reach for Jerry Bennett. So let me go back to what we discussed a little bit with John White. We only touched on a couple of the horses from the future wager, and if you didn't get a chance to peruse the hit list, here was the, I thought, some of the notable and interesting numbers and individual horses. I mean, obviously up at the top end, I mean, my approach to future wagers are always, you know, I want, you know, three to four times what the potential price might be on Derby Day. So, taking even, frankly, even in the 20s, I mean, unless you see a horse that you think ultimately, if they get there, they'll be among the favorites. But the all others, as John talked about, 2-1, Forte 8-1. Hoosier Philly at 11-1, it just seems insane. Tappet Trice off the allowance win. Yeah. 15-1. Instant Coffee. Looking forward to talking to Brad about Instant Coffee. 22-1. And Cox also, Victory Formation, 23-1. Go Rocket Ride for Mandela was 25-1. Blazing Sevens, the Chad Brown, 27-1. Banishing, 27-1 as well for Brendan Walsh. Litigate off the Sam Davis win, 28-1. And obviously, he's going to have to get faster. Hit Show, also 28-1 off the Withers win for Brad Cox. So we're up to, right, you're already up to four Brad Coxes because verifying 34-1. Rocket Can, 35-1 for Mott off the Holy Bull. King's Barnes, which was one of the ones that John said he bet, 35-1. The next Brad Cox, Giant Mischief, 43-1. Shadow Dragon, the runner-up in the Holy Bull, 46-1 for Mott. Mage, the impressive maiden winner, 48-1. That seems, you know, I mean, it's not a terrible number, but, you know, the horse has got one start. 7 furlongs. He's going to have to be justified at this point. I guess he has a month on justify in terms of timing. Curly Jack for Amos, 49-1. Disarm, Steve Asmussen, 50-1. Shug's General Jim, and he is going to Shug's going to stretch him out, 51-1. Asmussen, Red Root 1, coming out of the race at Oaklawn. Not terrible, actually, behind Baffert. 58-1. Tappet's Conquest, the next Brad Cox. I mean, Cox is, it's crazy. 63-1. Gun Pilot for Asmussen, 66-1. Eyeing Clover, Brad Cox, 73-1. For those keeping track at home, that's seven Brad Coxes, and we're only at number 24 on the list. Cyclone Mischief, despite the miscue, 76-1. And if Dale can, if that was a reaction to the, you know, to the big allowance win, then he gets, you know, back forward, 76-1. That's not a terrible number. Arctic Arrogance, and we'll see what Linda Rice does, 78-1. Practical Move that John discussed, 83-1. And that's a nice number on the Yak team. Shopper's Revenge, Asmussen, 90-1. WNL off the really not encouraging seasonal debut at Tampa, 90-1. First Offender, 91-1. Now here's the next Brad Cox and another Al Gold. I mean, here's Al with two horses on this list. Instant Coffee, 22-1, but Slip Mahoney, 93-1. That, and I, you know, I was knee deep and mentally occupied ahead of Super Bowl, so I completely forgot about this and didn't get anything down. But 93-1 would have been a number that's the kind of number you want. We'll see what's next for, you know, how soon we're going to see Slip Mahoney back. Two Fills, Ravelli, 95-1, solid numbers. 97-1 on Gulfport for Asmussen. Jace's Road, these are the last of the Coxes. Jace's Road, 104-1, and Angel of Empire, 112-1. Keith DeSormo's Confidence Game, 119-1. Determinedly for Cassie, 124-1. Fantastic again. Interesting for Wesley Ward, 158-1. Game Change, Shug, 165. And Frosted Departure, Kenny McPeak, 186-1. So that was your 40 betting interests in pool four. There's some numbers there that are okay. And of course, as Darren Rogers told you Friday, Thursday or Friday? Thursday, I think. The addition of the redistributed Baffert horses will be a big part of the next pool. And if you hadn't, the Thoroughgraph always puts together a package of the horses each future wager, and the Oaks, of course, next time too. And you go through, and there really were some okay potential based on the limited. You're talking about horses with one or two starts. That first Defender, 91-1. That I know it was 6 furlongs. Not that different, really, from Mage. Right? Mage wins the 7 furlong debut. Well, here's Steve Asmussen with a quality road, and got the kind of figure that's a very good starting point. And happens to be a sib, to some horses that stretched out quite fine. AP Indy, 11 Pride, the Dam. this is a horse that should stretch out first Defender, right? McPeak's horse a little bit has got to really speed up. Fantastic again, has got to come back to the dirt. Broke the maiden in an off the turf race, but it's hard to see necessarily that, probably the avenue toward the Jeff Ruby, that Go Rocket Ride that took real money. The seventh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, was the sixth most bet individual entrant. This the Candy Ride out of the Uncle Mo mare, winless mare, Beyond Grace. It ran a very solid number. Again, a one-time starter, first-out winner, but, you got some catching up to do, right? Gun Pilot's moving in the right direction. Hit Show with the nice win. And, I suppose he keeps going forward. I mean, Hoosier Filly, for her to be 11-1, we've already gone through a dozen horses that are faster by all metrics. So we'll see on Saturday. Instant Coffee, absolutely deserves to be down where he was. King's Barn with a solid 9 number. Yeah, I'll tell you, by comparison, of the two first out winners that we've just touched on, between Mage got an 8 on Thoroughgraph. And First Defender got a 5 3/4. And frankly, from a pedigree standpoint, Mage, Good Magic out of the very nice Puka, granted, big brown, but she was, she was an intermediate sprinter type. Love and Pride, an AP Indy daughter, there's a lot more anticipation for First Defender stretching out, it would seem. And, Mage, 48-1. You got twice the price. You got almost twice the price. 91-1. That First Defender number. Those of you that got First Defender, raise your hand. I think you good for you. I think you sniffed. I think you may have sniffed something out. Looking at this, I, of course, I would have done better looking at this. Sunday at 5 o'clock. there's only so much. There's only so much you can keep track of, to be honest. Of those, by the way, of these horses that we've gone through, Determinedly Run Saturday in the Risen Star, Angel of Empire for Cox, Tappet's Conquest for Cox, Curly Jack, Two Fills, and Victory Formation. So 6 of the 14, you're going to get an instant read, like an instant read thermometer. And here, the rest, it's time for me to call Jerry Bennett. The rest of these, that's, here we go. Let's get to Slip Mahoney. Slip Mahoney is also at 93 to 1.
On Sirius XM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Pons Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and curly stands, the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? The University of Arizona's Racetrack Industry Program is your winning ticket. The Racetrack Industry Program has served as a springboard to some of the industry's most successful individuals, with a proven track record of job placement right out of college. If you want to earn a degree in the exciting horse racing industry, the Racetrack Industry Program can put you in the winner's circle.
Visit ua-rtip.org today.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company?